Good day, everyone, and welcome to Phoenix Solar's conference call with the presentation of the financial figures for the second quarter, 2011. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Dr. Andreas Hähnel, Chief Executive Officer of Phoenix Solar AG. I also like to welcome Mrs. Sabine Kauper, Chief Financial Officer, in today's conference call. Dr. Hähnel, you may now begin.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome to the second quarter results conference calls of Phoenix Solar. As already announced, with me in the call is Sabine Kauper, the CFO of Phoenix Solar. I'd like to just give you a brief overview about the contents of the presentation. We start this time with the financial parameters. Sabine Kauper is going to present you the results. And then I'll come back and talk about module sales issues and the large-scale power plant business, and then provide an outlook into 2011 and 2012. Now, I would like immediately to hand over to Sabine Kauper to present the figures of the second quarter. Sabine.
Thank you, Andreas. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to start my presentation with a short overview of the key figures of our second quarter 2011. Revenues for the whole group amount to 108.4 million, of which components and systems add up to 72.2 million, and of which power plants add up to 36.2 million. International business revenue amounts to 45.3 million. EBIT is negative with 9.4 million, as well as EBIT margin with 8.7%. Our equity ratio adds up to 46.1% by the end of second quarter, and our order backlog is about 311 million. After this short overview, I would like to go in detail with the figures of the profit and loss statement. So on page 5, you will see on the left-hand side the annual charts, and on the right-hand side, the quarterly charts. As second quarter was still suffering from low demand in main PV markets, especially in Germany and Italy, revenues went down 61.8% to 108.4 million for the second quarter. Due to specific market situation in Germany 2010, second quarter 2011 is significantly below last year's record quarter, both in terms of revenue and EBIT, with a revenue of last year's quarter with 283.6 million. Group EBIT is presented on page 6. Again, you will see on the left-hand side the annual charts and on the right-hand side the quarterly charts. Second quarter EBIT is negative with 9.4 million, as well as EBIT margin with 8.7%. On the one hand, EBIT is influenced by depreciation of inventories. This is 11.5 million for the inventory in the books by the end of June 2011. But on the other hand, Phoenix Solar also received 4.3 million stock compensation from suppliers. If you split the results in our two segments, revenues for the component and system segments amount to 72.2 million for the second quarter, and EBIT is negative with 12.3 million, as well as EBIT margin with 70%. It was especially the high depreciation of inventories which influences gross margin and leads to negative EBIT due to our fixed expenses in this segment. Our second segment, the power plant segment, shows a revenue of 36.2 million euro and an EBIT of 2.2 million with an EBIT margin of 8%, as our international power plant projects show improving margins. Let's switch over to the order backlog, which is dominated by international power plant projects. Order backlog adds up to 311 million in total, with a free order backlog of 167 million after deduction of our percentage of completion revenues. Power plant backlog is 243 million with a backlog of 183 million euro for international projects. and components and systems shows a backlog of 68 million. Now we have finished profit and loss statement and order backlog information. So let's have a look at our balance sheet, which was affected by a decrease of inventories. What you can also see in a decrease of the total balance sheet from 313.3 million to 264.4 million. Our current assets amount to 249.2 million, of which inventory amounts to 94.5 million. Intensified sales activities in both segments led to these reduced inventories, of which 16.4 million are goods in transit. Let's have a look at the shareholders' equity, which adds up to 122 million with an equity ratio for the second quarter for 46.1%. Our current liabilities decreased from 165.5 million to 139.6 million, of which current financial liabilities show an increase from 52.6 million to 75 million showed on the one hand, and an increase, trade payables shown on the other hand, a decrease from 84.5 million to 34.2 million because of low procurement activities due to work off inventory. Let's switch over to the working capital analysis. Actions were taken to reduce inventories and capital commitments in projects. But at the current low revenue levels, these measures are not yet sufficient to improve the working capital ratio. The working capital ratio shows an increase from 21.8% to 26.9%. The last topic of my presentation is the cash flow analysis. We had a significant improvement of the operating cash flow situation, from a negative cash flow with 84.5 million to a negative cash flow to 5.3 million due to liquidity release by reduction of inventories and capital commitments in the power plant segment. Now I will finish my presentation and hand over to Andrea Fehl again. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you, Sabine. We're moving on with the module sales and internationalization issues on page 14. On the left-hand side of the slide, you see the total megawatts sold in the previous years. On the right-hand side, you see the quarterly distribution 2010 and 2011. Not unexpected, the megawatts sold in the first and second quarter 2011 are significantly below the values of 2010, exactly by 47.5%. due to the fact that in the first half 2010 we had significant pull-in effects, in particular from the German market, due to the cuts in the feed-in tariff from 1st July 2010 onwards. As a consequence, the total volume sold in the first half 2010 was 177 megawatts, but it was 93 megawatts in the first half 2011. In the second quarter, mainly the module purchase was driven by, the module sales were driven by inventory work-off. So we have hardly bought any new products, which also explain the losses which we had in the second quarter. There were no new projects or hardly any new projects coming in, which would have allowed for higher margins. However, we have in the meantime reached a very attractive pricing level for solar modules and also inverters, and with the significant inventory clearing which we have done in the second quarter, we are now in a position to purchase new module volumes from July onwards. So regularly every month, every week, we are checking how much new volumes we're going to purchase for Q3 and Q4. If we move on to page 15, this shows the split between the national and international business over the quarter, starting from the first quarter 2010 on the left-hand side to the second quarter 2011 on the right-hand side. And I think there's a clear trend of internationalization, so that's the upper part of the column, the dark blue part, which clearly shows that there's a trend for higher internationalization. Phoenix Solar has been criticized in the past having focused too much on the German market. I think we couldn't underpin with the numbers of the second quarter that internationalization works fine at Phoenix Solar. We have reached in the second quarter a revenue increase in the international business of 21.4%. However, it was 53.5% increase in the first half 2011, reaching almost 69 million euro. The total international sales in the first half 2011 were 48.7% of total sales, so that means that almost 50% of the sales took place abroad. In the past years, the power plant business was very much driven by German sales. This has completely changed. The picture has completely changed. In the first half 2011, more than 92% of the sales were done outside Germany, and only a very small portion of the H1 sales were done in Germany. However, as we see that German projects are very attractive once again in the second half 2011, we will put more emphasis on German projects and realize more projects in Germany in the second half 2011. Let's move on to page 16, just to explain a bit what we are doing in the international business, and first what we are doing in Europe apart from the components and systems business, apart from small and mid-scale ground-mounted and roof-mounted system. I've just highlighted some projects which we do in Italy, three multi-megawatt projects which need to be finalized and grid-connected by the end of August. And we are currently building three projects totaling 37.7 megawatt peak in France, which brings the total contract volume in France well over 100 million so far in 2011, and France is going to be the strongest foreign market of Phoenix Solar in 2011. But there was also critics in the past that Phoenix Solar is not in a position to extend rapidly its business outside Europe. And this was surely true for the year 2010. In the year 2010, only 0.4 million euro were order backlog in countries outside Europe. We have reached in the meantime, by the end of June 2011, an order backlog outside Europe of 43.5 million euro, so that's a factor 100 compared to the previous year's figures. And above there is some bullet points about projects which we are currently realizing outside Europe. This is the well-known project, I think, in Saudi Arabia, and the 16 megawatt in Thailand, which we have already announced. Also, the 2 megawatt projects in India, which need to be executed by the end of the year. And we also won contracts for a 207 kilowatt peak carport and test array project in the Philippines. So I think we are moving very well ahead in terms of international sales, and also particularly international sales outside Europe. How do we see the year 2011 to close, and how do we see the 2012 develop? If we move on to page 19, to the market development in Germany, just more or less a historic view about what we have seen in the past 2.5 years. Already in the fourth quarter 2010, we have seen the market down 20% compared to the fourth quarter 2009. In the beginning of the year, comparing January to May 2011 with the same period in 2010, the market is down by 38% in the first 5 months. The June figures haven't been published yet by the German Federal Network Agency, Bundesnetzagentur, but I suspect that the June figures will be in the order of magnitude of 500 to 700 megawatts, probably not more. So the first half-year market in Germany will be significantly below 2 gigawatts. So if you take this into account, I could easily expect that June will be down 50 to 60% compared to the previous years, so a very significant cut in the market volume. Nonetheless, the question is how it's going to develop. Phoenix Solar still sticks to the 5 to 6 gigawatt market in Germany, which will be very back-end loaded this year. So I think two-thirds or even three-fourths of the market are expected to materialize in the second half of this year. We do expect that after the vacation period in September, there will be more sales and the market is going to kick in, and we will see a year-end rally by the end of Q4. We already see first signs of more demand, which could start in September. Comparing the fourth quarter 2010 and the fourth quarter 2011, it could well be that the fourth quarter 2011 could be stronger than the fourth quarter of the previous years. Our international order book is well filled, as Sabine already explained. She explained the total order backlog. The international order backlog is 238 million euros, so very substantial. And this is almost or nearly tripled from the previous years and gives us some good visibility for the second half. We have also currently quite a number of large-scale projects under negotiation in Germany, Greece, and Eastern Europe, and in some other countries outside Europe, which all need to be realized by the end of the year. And it leaves us another 4 to 6 weeks to conclude those projects which we want to realize in 2011. Now, how could the market develop in the next years? We believe that the European market is going to be flattish compared to 2011, and the 2011 market may be well down 20 to 25% compared to 2010, where we have seen record values in Germany with 7.4 gigawatts and in some other markets like Italy as well. For 2011 and 12, we might see stagnating or declining markets in Germany, Italy, France, and Spain, and possibly growing markets in Greece and the UK. We have strong expectations for the growth markets in the United States, in Asia, and to some extent also in the Middle East. And we have provided here the growth expectations of those markets in 2011 to 2013. So that clearly shows that if the European market is flattish, that there is growth potential of the world market from 2011 to 2012. This market doesn't include rest of the world and Japan, for example, so the growth may be even higher. And going forward, 2012 to 2013, the market growth may even speed up further. How does the outlook for Phoenix Solar look like? We have seen now module and inverter prices declining significantly, and still a couple of months ago we have thought that with the cuts which we may see in Germany 2012, we will be not in a position to do any further projects in Germany and will have to focus more abroad. Given the current pricing situation and given the cost reduction potential which we see with our balance of system costs, we are very optimistic that we will be also in a position to do project business in Germany in 2012. There's a high likelihood that the volumes of projects being sold and built in Germany by Phoenix Solar in 2012 may even surpass the 2011 volumes. But we already see significant opportunities for larger projects in Italy, Greece, Portugal, Spain, and Eastern Europe. And with some of these projects, we are already discussing and in contract negotiations. And we also see the pipeline building up in Asia and the United States. And we believe this is going to accelerate further into 2011. So overall, much earlier than normal, the project pipeline of Phoenix Solar 2012 is under construction. So I finished my presentation here. I thank you very much for your attention. I'm looking very much forward for your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the Q&A period. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 9* on your touch-tone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press 9* again. As a courtesy to those individuals seeking to ask a question, we kindly ask that all participants limit themselves to 2 questions. The first question comes from Katerina Koleva from WestLB.
Hi, good afternoon. 2 questions. The first one is on the U.S. Market. You still seem to be very optimistic for the next year. My question is, as a, let's say, new company in the U.S., which sub-market will be more attractive or easier for you to entry to tap? Is it the utility market or the industrial and commercial market? And the second question is, do you have any projects in Italy beyond August 31st?
Okay. To answer your first question, we are currently working in both segments, industry projects and commercial projects and utility projects. If you want to realize revenues on a shorter term, it's more likely that the first projects and larger projects to be concluded will be industrial and commercial, because utility projects take a longer period of project development. Typically, we're talking about 2 to 3 years in the United States. So these type of developmental projects in the United States will surely last longer. So the focus is on industry and commercial, and we already have some smaller projects, commercial projects in the United States, which are currently being realized. To your second question, Italian projects, we are currently sorting out the situation after the 31st August. In Italy, we currently don't have concrete plans for projects in Italy, but we have some projects in the pipeline. We are just thinking about what's the best way in order to introduce them in the new cap mechanisms in Italy.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Arindam Basu from Barclays Capital, may we have your question, please?
Thanks, Arindam from Barclays Capital. Two questions from me as well. First, you talked about a 4.3 million euro stock compensation from your suppliers. Could you provide a bit more detail as to how this works, and are you eligible for any future compensation in case there is further price decline on the existing inventory? And second, just on pricing, you made a broader comment that it's been decreasing since the beginning of the year. Could you probably put some numbers to where module and inverter prices are, not perhaps just on a euro per watt basis, but how much they have declined since the beginning of the year, and where your expectation is for Q4, where you expect most of your sales to be? Thanks.
Okay, first question, the stock compensation. Yes, there has been stock compensation, but by some suppliers in the first half. We do see still potential also to discuss further stock compensation with other suppliers. We will see that in the next couple of weeks. Second question, pricing has moved down, I think, by around 20% in the course of 2011. Not that much in the inverter business, but in the module business, we currently see prices stabilizing, at least for the tier one suppliers. We even see longer lead times of modules delivery, so that makes us also quite certain that we will see a flattish pricing environment for tier one suppliers in the next couple of months.
Right. Sorry, just going back on the first question, the stock compensation, does that mean that you're able to go back to your suppliers and ask for a compensation in case price declines are higher than anticipated?
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
Welcome.
Mr. Robert Schramfuchs from Macquarie, may we have your question, please?
Hey, good afternoon. I would like to know about the order backlog. The last time you had more than 300 million euros in backlog, you delivered a record quarter with almost 300 million euros in sales. So I'm just wondering how we should think about the third quarter in terms of relative to the second quarter. And secondly, I'd like to know, the shares, or rather your enterprise value, is now 20% below the working capital value. So have there been any takeover offers extended to you? Obviously the market is pricing in that you have a further 20% inventory write-off and that there's zero value to the business franchise.
I'm not sure whether I got the rest of the question, but first of all, your Q3 expectations given the current order backlog. The order backlog which we're having is also extending to the fourth quarter, because as you can see from the slide which has been presented by Sabine Kauper, there's a huge portion which is attributed to the power plant business. And in this case, this already extends to the end of the year, so we have a better visibility. So it splits into Q3 and Q4. General expectations for Q3 is we do see further upside potential in revenue. And we also see a significant further improvement of the EBIT situation as most of the write-downs of the inventory may be through. So the expectations is that quarter on quarter we will be able to improve our revenue situation. Second question is share price level. Yes, it's basically unacceptably low. So the equity is 122 million euros. The market cap is 82 million currently. So this is of course well, very strange situation. However, I think the risk of being, let's say, friendly or unfriendly takeover, I think is very limited. I believe that the limit is due to the situation that we have 100% free float. All those takeovers which we have seen in the last years in the solar business, there was always an anchor investor involved, which is not the case in Phoenix. I think that the situation of the 100% free float is going to protect us.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Lauren Likwanen from Commerzbank.
Hi, yeah, just a question on the power plant business. And if you could just talk about your expectations for margins going forward, given that it improved quite significantly in Q2 versus Q1, and whether you continue to see that substantial improvement going forward for the rest of the year. So that's my first question.
Okay, so yes, I'm very I also positively surprised about the power plant business, having seen the 8% margin in the second quarter. Basically, that's above our long-term expectations for the power plant business, where we say, okay, typically in the range of something between 6-8 or 5-8%. So this looks very good. And this has to do with the fact that many of the projects which we do outside Germany are very interesting in terms of margin. Nonetheless, also these international projects have a certain, let's say, margin mix, so they are not all in the same level. It's differing a lot on in which country you're doing the realization, if it's the first or the second or the third project. And whether you do the project as an EPC contractor or whether you hold own project rights. And the clear tendency is, as soon as we have project rights, when we are the project owners, we can have significantly higher margins when we do only EPC business. And we are currently striving to go more into the project development business, not only in Germany, but also abroad, in order to make sure that we also can profit in the future from the higher margin potential.
And then, so of your order backlog in the power plants business, is how much of that is EPC versus project?
Well, honestly speaking, I don't have the split in mind. I still believe that there's a majority of EPC business compared to developmental business, but it's just a rough guess. So I would need to check it, how the split really looks like, but my feeling says it's still more in EPC. So we are in the phase of making this transition from EPC to more, let's say, developmental projects.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Jean-François Maimandi from UBS, may we have your question, please?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Two questions on my side. Number one, back on the share price issue, I wanted to know if we could think through the lines of share buyback program. If I remember well, you put it your last shares at 3 times the price it is now last year. And with the net working capital going down, should we think about a share buyback program? And number two, on international projects, if you could comment on the profitability of those projects versus Germany for the remainder of the year would be perfect. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, a share buyback, well, of course, it's attractive on this level and also to move the share price up, but currently we also want to expand our business further into international markets. The power plants business needs more pre-financing in some particular markets. So liquidity is also an issue which you should focus on, and for that reason, there are currently no plans for a share buyback program. Second question, international projects profitability versus Germany. Well, it's a kind of moving target. A couple of months in the beginning of the first quarter, it was very clear that German projects hardly wouldn't pay off, and international projects had potential for high margins. In the meantime, we also do see reasonable margin potential for German projects, as we see prices for mainly modules and also balance of system costs moving down. And this is also one of the reasons why we now believe that we will be in a position to do also projects in 2012. Whether the German projects 2011 or 2012 are more profitable than the international projects will very much depend on the geography, because there is no general rule. As I said in the last question, if you make a first project in a particular country, you want to have a project win in order to have a reference project, so sometimes these margins are also less attractive, but there are other margins, other markets where those margins are highly attractive. So no clear rule, unfortunately.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome.
Mr. Götz Fischbeck from BHF Bank, may I have your question, please?
Yes, I'd also like to elaborate on the project business going forward. So I was wondering, seeing that now it appears as if prices have stabilized and indeed the returns in Germany on projects are very attractive, how flexible are you with your sourcing for the remainder of 2011, both in terms of project rights as well as in terms of hardware components? Because at the end of the day, you know, you would require to have the hardware, I assume, by the middle of October in order to have sufficient time to then actually, you know, install them either in your projects or supply them to the installers on your customer side. So how actually, you know, how much flexibility do you have, and at what time do you have to see the commitment from your customers, be it the installers or the project customers, that you can go forward and place the order this year?
Yeah. So to your first question, project rights, so those projects which we want to acquire to realize them in 2011, they definitely need to be on our radar right now. So all those projects which we envisage to realize this year are under discussion and negotiation. I mentioned in the call that the cutoff date for last contract signatures end of September exactly has to do with the fact that we have, let's say, a lead time of about 4 weeks before we can start installation, but we also have a very clear lead time for components to purchase. And this is definitely essential. Many projects need to come from the United States, from abroad, from Asia. So there's easily lead time of 6-8 weeks. We need to take this into account. And in many cases, the modules are not the most critical issues for very large projects. It's also the high voltage transformer. When we're talking about bringing very large projects to the high voltage grid, then we have to have, then we easily have lead times of a couple of months or so. So we need to take this into account, and this led exactly to the cutoff date September. But then we still will have the time to do, let's say, some orders for high voltage equipment and for some modules, and this could work out fine for the end of the year.
And then as a second question, I mean, a lot of manufacturers, hardware manufacturers, are actually suffering strongly from the price declines that we've seen in the market. Are you actually already seeing that manufacturers are shutting down? And so is this industry shakeout already taking place and becoming visible for you? And then I finally have a question just in terms of interpretation of your wording in the press release regarding the outlook for the remainder of the year, where you say you expect slight declines in consolidated revenues. I was just wondering, is 10% year-over-year still a slight decline, or would you qualify that as more than slight, just to get an idea of what you're indeed aiming for the remainder of this year?
And the next question is whether it's 8% slight or
not. No. I mean, just to get an idea, I mean, when would you, is 15% still slight
Not? Yeah. Well, first question is, yes, I think there are some suppliers suffering from the price declines, I think in the meantime all over the world, so this has gone very quickly and brought the prices down to a very attractive level, which is extremely attractive for customers as well, which allow them to build at very high returns. So this is also one reason why I believe that the market is going to kick in September. There is good visibility and there is good returns to be expected. What I've heard is that some suppliers reduce the production volumes to value below the maximum production capacity. In some cases, we have been talking to and hearing about 50 to 70%. So surely not the whole world has been producing at full capacity. I think that's also a very unrealistic. So the times are really getting tougher for hardware makers, module makers anyway, and this is currently taking place. And whether it comes to a shutdown or not, I think I'm not the one in a position I can tell you about the system integrators business and Phoenix Solar's business in particular, but this risk I think you should investigate it on the supplier side. On as far as 2011 is concerned and the expectations for the revenue, what slight really means? Well, first of all, we are not in a position yet to fully give a clear guidance in terms of hard numbers where we're going to end up by the end of the year due to the fact that projects are under final negotiations. Market definitely has not kicked in yet, so it's, of course, an assumption which we have, like many others, that the market is kicking in September. So we don't have a full clear picture yet, but I think 10% is probably a bit too much to be slight.
Okay, thank you. Understood.
Okay.
Ms. Katja Pisek from Deutsche Bank, may we have your question, please?
Yes, thank you. Starting maybe first with a housekeeping issue, could you please try to reconcile in your press release you were highlighting you had 5.4 million inventory write-downs in the second quarter. I was just not really able to reconcile it given that the presentation is 11.5. And then secondly, just with regards to the current financing of your second quarter 2011 growth. So it looks like depending on how the revenue expectation clearly is, but let's say you're looking forward to around 400 million revenues at least in the second half. And this has to be pre-financed. Do you see here any limitations in terms of credit lines or from the supplier side who might do not offer you similar nice payment terms or trade with accounts payables like you have maybe seen in 2009? Do you see here a structural risk which might limit you then in the second half to take your share in the market if it comes back? Thank you.
To your first question concerning our inventory depreciation, we have two different approaches to describe this inventory depreciation. The one is the balance sheet approach. So what we say, by the end of June, we have a depreciation of, at the moment, 11.5 million on our booked stock. And the other approach is, if you look at the profit and loss statement, and you will find this in our notes and on page 35, we have 19 million of depreciation for the whole first year. And we have a difference between these two figures and the figure in the press release because the 19 million euros include also goods which are already sold within the two quarters. And to your second question concerning...
Sorry, just to come back, and the 5.4 would be then the net number between 19 and 11.5? No. Where is the 5.4 coming from the press release this morning?
The 5.4 is the figure for the second quarter, the balance sheet figure. So by the end of the second quarter, let me say it in another way, between the first and the second quarter, we had 5 million depreciation on the stock we have in the warehouse now. It's a difference between first and second quarter within the balance sheet approach. I know we have a lot of confusion with this depreciation with quarter. So next time we will try to give detailed information what approach we have used for this interpretation.
Yeah, because it reads it reads like it is related to the EBIT impairments included in the second quarter. That's how the text was phrased, and therefore I think people were looking for the 5.4 and were not able to reconcile it because the actual number appears to be in the P&L at least a little higher. Mm. But okay.
Yes, we talked before. It's a little bit confusing. I'm sorry. And your next question concerning the financing, perhaps you know we have a syndicated loan of 150 million euro. We were able to agree a premature extension of the syndicated loan, and now it has been extended until November 2012. And as we won't have a growth this year, which we expected last year, risk credit lines are enough to finance our business at the moment.
And in terms of suppliers, do you see similar payment terms like, let's say, in 2009 and 10, or have they tightened it up because of, let's say, having problems themselves?
That's different. Some suppliers will tighten it up. We also have offers for bridge financing from suppliers. We will see how it works in the next two quarters.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
The next question comes again from Robert Schramm-Fuchs from Macquarie.
Yeah, thanks for taking my follow-up. I'd like to know on the inventory compensation, is that paid in, or was that paid in cash, or was it future lower pricing promises? And I'd also like to know about the status of any module purchase commitments. You mentioned that you are currently assessing your module procurements on a monthly basis. Do you have any fixed volume contracts for the remainder of this year? Thank you.
So to your first question, it's usually in these kind of compensations are not usually cash. It's in compensation for new products purchased. So this is the regular way how to do it with most of the suppliers who are offering this compensation. Second is whether we have fixed module purchase agreements for the remaining of the year. Yes, we have one long-term contract which obliges us to take certain volumes. However, we have been renegotiating this one, and we have a lot of flexibility built in into this contract in the course of the year. But we clearly try and will try to fulfill our contract there if the market allows. Let's make it very general. Apart from that, we are purchasing more on a spot market basis. So with a regular update and forecast, which we are producing every week, we are currently also defining every week what new module volumes we can purchase.
Mm. And just as a follow-up on your long-term contract, that's been going on for a few years. How long is the remainder of the contract duration period?
It's the end of 2012.
Okay, cool. Thanks very much.
Okay, we're coming to the last question, and then we finish the call. If there are no other questions arising.
The last question is from Jean-François Meymandi from UBS.
Yeah, thanks for taking my follow-up. On the residential business in Germany, it seems that prices on the installer side have been quite sticky and took some time to come down. Do you see now stabilized at a lower level prices in the residential business that could take the demand up? Or when did those stabilize, or when do you expect prices to stabilize for residential customers?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the residential pricing level in Germany is now extremely attractive, which allows customers to take really high profits and high returns. From the pricing side, I think we have reached also a bottom which will allow demand to take up. And I'm also quite sure that the stabilization which we have seen on the purchase pricing and some other price level, that this can be flat, let's say, at least to the year end. So we might see a couple of months with stable prices. However, if there's always a risk, like always, if the market doesn't kick in as expected in September, then there will be more pressure on pricing. But as I said, I don't expect this. It's very attractive right now to do business in Germany, both in the residential and in the commercial business. And I think more people are going to start with this investments from September onwards.
And just to follow up on that, instead of lower prices, do you have, let's say, better inventory write-down negotiation with your suppliers for next year in case something happens like the end of 2010?
Well, we currently do not discuss this kind of compensation for 2011 moving into 2012. This is more focused on what's actually in the warehouse or has been in the warehouse. Of course, we will strive to minimize inventory by the end of the year. However, that's also very clear. We have to purchase now in order to be able to build, taking into account the lead times of module supply. So we have also make up our mind, I would say, until September before we can purchase the last products to be delivered in mid-November. What we will do differently compared to the last year is that last year we have seen that there were always delays from manufacturers, projects, let's say, which have been ordered to be delivered beginning of November. They have been delivered mid of December, and we'll make a clear cut-off date this year, which is going to be already the end of November or the mid of November. After that cut-off date, we will not allow any further products entering our warehouse in order to minimize our risk of too high inventory by the year end. So that means we will not accept delays of manufacturers above the deadline mid to end of November in order to be more on the safe side, because these products in the warehouse these days, then we have at least a couple of weeks to be able to sell them through the components and systems business if needed. But this was not possible last year when material which was demanded for early November was coming in mid-December.
That's super helpful. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, welcome. Okay, so there's a further question arising. It's Satya Kumar from Credit Suisse. I think we're going to take this one as well. And then we close the call.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, thanks. Dr. Hanel, I was wondering if you can give us a frame of reference to your commentary around the input price declines. I think you mentioned that pricing was down 20%. I was wondering if you could clarify from the point of your analyst day, which was in early June, where you indicated some price levels for the second half of the year from tier one suppliers. How much is pricing down from that level for second half of the year? And given what's happening in terms of pricing, you mentioned that market is obviously looking better in Germany for the second half. I was wondering, from a technology perspective, do you see any difference in trend between thin film and crystalline? Crystalline prices are so low now that they're more attractive, or vice versa, in the second half of the year. Thanks.
Okay. So the numbers which we have presented on the Capital Markets Day in June, I think the prices which we currently see is very much in line with what we have announced these days. So both for crystalline and for thin film. For crystalline, honestly speaking, it's even a bit below this level because I think we announced around 1 euro per watt, and we already see much lower prices for crystalline. In the thin film, we are on the level which we indicated in the Capital Market Day. As far as the comparison between crystalline and thin film is concerned, I clearly do see that crystalline has been moving down with prices much faster than thin film, and we basically need a pricing difference between those two technologies in order to compensate for the different balance of system cost. And my feeling is that currently the thin film pricing have not yet reached a level again where they are fully competitive with crystalline.
Thank you.
Okay, so this was the last question. I'd like to close the call from our side. I thank you very much for your participation. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This will conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation. Goodbye and have a good time.